the honor and blessing of working with a new sound system. So that is a good thing, but it's going to take us a little bit to figure out how to use it. So I'm going to offer my normal welcome here, and then perhaps by the time we've got some announcements, we'll have it turned on and working. So dear friends, welcome this Sunday morning, this second Sunday of Advent. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And you can check out all of the ways that we are churched together by taking a look in your bulletin. There are announcements and calendars. If you have any questions about our life together, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning to receive any of those questions. All right, so we're still working out the sound, and that means that our announcement folks are going to have to use their big voices. Yes, big voices. All right, go ahead, Barb. You're first. Big, big voice. It's not on. It's not working. Is it? Okay. Just go ahead and do your announcement, please. Be loud. Bigger. And if you missed any part of that, there is also an announcement about the bookmarks in your bulletin. Also a reminder, this morning following worship, you've got about 5 or 10 minutes or so to grab a cup of coffee to come on back. We do have a congregational meeting today, so please join us for that time together. And this morning we also have the opportunity to welcome one of our partners in mission. Quite often you hear from Tom and a number of folks in this congregation who have had the experience of forming relationships with our friends in Guatemala. And this morning we have an opportunity to welcome Randall Shea and his wife, Juana, to share a bit more and greetings, how things are going in Guatemala. Randall, you'll big voice. Big voice.
We live in a community that was very isolated in a rural area, and some of you from this church have been able to come and visit us there, which we remember very well. I should also mention that our community is one that was hit very hard by the wartime violence in Guatemala.
En febrero de 1982, cuando el ejército entró en la comunidad, todos los habitantes, para salvar nuestras vidas, tuvimos que ir debajo de las montañas para salvarnos.
In February of 1982, our village was attacked by the army and destroyed. Everyone from our village had to flee into the rainforest in order to save our lives.
A pesar de los años que ha pasado, muchas consecuencias de la guerra se es reflejado en los habitantes hoy día.
And in spite of the hardships of the war and the years of refugee, being in refuge, the community has worked hard to improve itself with education.
Y estamos aquí para agradecerles a ustedes por el apoyo que nos dan, como también de muchas personas que gracias a eso estamos avanzando mucho en la educación de los jóvenes de la comunidad.
So again, we want to thank all of you today for the support that you've been providing us in education. It's so tremendously important, and it's enabling us to recover from the war years and move forward.
Muchas gracias por todo.
And thank you again.
Now, friends, let us worship God together. O God, let your light shine.
We kindle it with peace. Our world is troubled with darkness and despair.
The prophet Isaiah announced God's coming to a people exiled in a broken and parched wilderness. He declared that God's voice would cry from the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Christ, be our light, so that we may shine in your world today.
Thank you. Join me in the call to worship, please, and stand as able and willing. The reign of God is drawing near. Prepare the way for the Lord.
A just and peaceful path.
Welcome one another, for Christ welcomes you.
Glory.
All who God has created us to be, all of our shortcomings. Let us say together the prayer of confession. Holy and loving God, we have dwelt in darkness and preferred it to the light. We have been proud of our accomplishments and despaired over our shortcomings. Smooth down the mountains of our pride. Lift up the valley of our doubts. Open a path in the wilderness of our lives, that we might find our way to you again. Refine us and prepare us once again for life in your kingdom. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Though the darkness seems so deep, do not fear. God is with us. Repent. Turn your lives to God. God's love is being poured out for you always. God's light of grace will shine through our lives. Thank you. you all sit right here. Good morning, friends. So today, we are in the second Sunday of Advent. Now, I wasn't here last week, but I hear that something happened up on this screen. Do you see some stars up there? We have something else that's going to be appearing on our screen up there. Can we watch as we hear the story told to us from the Bible this morning? Let's listen and watch.
Hello. Today's reading, Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of the good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep.
Can you all see what's coming onto that screen there? Does anyone know what that is? What is it? A road. We have a pathway before us that is leading us. Where do you think that pathway might be leading us to? What's coming up pretty soon? Anyone know? What's coming up soon? Christmas is coming soon. And the path that we are on this Advent season will eventually lead us to baby Jesus. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for showing us the path to you. Amen. Thank you, friends, for coming up. You've got Sunday school today, so go have fun. And our second scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. And the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham, our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Recently, I came across a letter that was written from two parents about their child. And I'll be honest, I couldn't help but wonder if this might be a letter that I would write someday, decades from now. I won't tell you which child. But in this letter, you might identify with similar struggles with your own children. Don't worry, I won't make you tell me which one. Or your grandchildren. Or even these words might just resonate within you because they speak of your own path. I encourage you to listen on the path that God has set before you this Advent season. When our baby boy was born, we had such high hopes for him. Our story was like many who came before us, trying to have children with no luck. And the older we got, we assumed that having children just wasn't in the stars for us. My husband is a pastor, a tireless, endless job. And we wondered if our not having children was because we were both just so busy. And then I began to hear the stories from other women my age about, you know, growing older. I just assumed that was what was happening to me. But then the news came that I was pregnant, and we were elated, dumbfounded, and celebrated this gift from God. And our son Johnny, he grew up like any other boy, running around with his friends. He even enjoyed church. He expressed interest in becoming a pastor just like his dad. We imagined the path before him, how we'd support him through school, and we even hoped that one day he might marry a nice girl. I just can't tell you how proud we were. But all that changed. You see, Johnny grew quiet, more distant, more intense, a little bit more of what you would call a loner in those teenage years. Our friends and family, of course, had all been through this before, assured us, it's just a stage. He'll grow out of it. But his mind always seemed to be someplace else, preoccupied with this great sense of urgency. When all the boys around him were going to school and having fun, following their path to something wonderful. And now I can't even put into words for you the embarrassment his behaviors became for us. We could live with the long hair that he never seemed to comb. I even made accommodations for his natural food diet. But then he'd disappear for days on end and come back spouting these radical political notions. He began publicly opposing every established authority in our small community. The economy, the government, the military, and then, yes, the religious community. He went too far, calling the other religious leaders names I can't even begin to repeat them here. Didn't he know his father could lose his job? Then what, we wondered. How did we go wrong? The situation got so bad, we honestly thought he was becoming a bit delusional. He kept talking about this utopian society that would be led by a revolutionary leader. And regardless of how we felt about what was happening, how we tried to contain it, tried to help steer him on the right path, people actually began to listen to him. Follow him. That started making people in power a bit nervous, and then he just went too far one day. Condemned the governor for the way that he conducted his family life, and then Johnny was arrested. We couldn't post bail. We had such high hopes for him. We wanted to know when he was going to see the light. Come to his senses. This was not the path that we had set him on. And now we're just heartsick, confused. What can you do with a boy like ours? A boy who calls himself John the Baptist. Using just a little bit of imagination, we catch a more intimate glimpse of a character, to be honest, makes most of us a little uncomfortable, who set out on this unlikely path, a path that would eventually lead to his death by the ruling authorities not long after he baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. A far cry from the path his parents and those who loved him envisioned. They simply just wanted what was best for him. They wanted what, at the core, we want for anyone that we love, including ourselves. A path that connects us to that which will bring peace in the midst of a troubling world, hope in times of despair, joy when there is suffering, love in the face of loneliness. And sometimes we do get all caught up and consumed with believing that we alone, as individuals, as parents, as spouses, as friends, can prepare the path and determine the way forward for those whom we love. And then the path turns out to be something else entirely. We don't know if Zechariah and Elizabeth were among the crowds that day when the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea went out to the river Jordan to hear John. But we do know that the people who followed him, who gathered, those people longed for a different path than the one they were on. Did they long for a path that was different personally? Had they grown weary of the ways they portrayed the path to others as artificially lit with busyness to cover the darkness of disappointment that life just wasn't what they were hoping for? We wonder if institutions had failed to lead these people on a path to prosperity and security. Did they go out with John in the wilderness that day, desperately seeking a word from the Lord that just might speak again about a path bringing about justice and peace in their deeply fractured world? I wonder if collectively the people were remembering a path like the one leading God's people out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. A path like the one that carried them from exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem, where every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill made low, as the prophet Isaiah foretold. I can't help but wonder if the people recalled these memories, these stories embedded deep in their souls, these paths of the very distant past, remembered in the way that we often remember the difficult times in our lives, the harsh edges of pain and suffering, slightly dimmed now by the reality that we survived. We made it out, that the light was not overcome by the darkness, which possibly even makes John's invitation all the more difficult to hear. Repent, he says. Makes us cringe a little bit. We carry our baggage associated with this word, co-opted by messages of repent or else suffer eternal damnation. Sound a bit familiar? And the dominant theology in Judaism when John was active was that if the nation repented, the kingdom would then come. The cause and effect relationship between repentance and fulfillment. But John's message here is very different. Because at the heart of this word, the word that makes us uncomfortable, that makes us cringe, means to turn around, to start over, to take another direction, to choose another path. All of those actions, by their nature, call into question the value of rightness of one's current path, but the emphasis is less on what is wrong with what we're doing right now and more on what is right and important and necessary about what path we will begin to prepare to journey on. Repentance underscores for us that change doesn't have to happen just for change's sake, but rather that change is necessary because the light is shining. We're aware our actions are out of step with God's path of peace and equity for all of God's people. To prepare this path, we do so because the reign of God is on the way. Friends, at this point in our own lives, I'm sure we're all aware of the various paths we've been on. Or, if you're a bit younger, perhaps you're reaching a point and thinking more about the path that it seems that the parents who love you, the grandparents who want what's best for you, that path that they want you to be on. And in reflecting about those various paths this Advent season, I would encourage you to reflect on what you believe about the path that God desires for you to be on. How is that path different than the one you or others imagined? Where are the overlaps? And those questions alone might be enough to keep you thinking all Advent season. But these are also questions that we not only ask ourselves, but as a community of faith, as a church gathered to prepare the way of the Lord, we ask one another. What do we believe is the path that God desires for us? Gates Presbyterian Church. Of course, you could substitute in there Rochester or our nation, our world, other groups and communities that you might be a part of, but this morning you've chosen to be here. And I think it's helpful to be concrete, to ask that question of ourselves, of one another, and God. How has that path changed in the past few years or decades? What is the path that God has put us on together? I'm asking you that question now, and you're off the hook for 25 minutes or so, because that's the question that we are going to share together in during the congregational meeting. The path, the changes of the path, we'll have an opportunity to really talk with one another. Because friends, the point of Advent is to prepare the way of the Lord, to make God's paths straight, to prepare for Christ's arrival and discover anew that God was willing to take the path of entering into our lives, into our history, to walk with us in order to illuminate our path with the hope that all things are possible. And this wasn't the path that God was supposed to take. God's supposed to stay up in heaven, handing out blessings or eternal damnation, right? That's what pop culture theology tries to tell us. But we believe that God doesn't do that. The God we know in Jesus joins us on the path, becomes one of us, and gives us hope by being with us and for us, helping us to see that even when, and maybe especially when, the paths we take don't go where we think they will, that we have an opportunity to discern God's will, to see the light that God shines on God's path for us, and to travel that path once again. Thanks be to God. Come, all you who prepare the path of the one who shines light into our world. There is a place where you are welcome here. You are welcome if light shines brightly on your path or you feel like you are sitting in darkness. Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to them and their eyes were opened. May the Lord of peace be with you. Our hearts wait in silence.
We wait for the light of the Lord.
We prepare for Emmanuel.
Let us give thanks for God with us.
Prophets call to us, O God, reminding us that you are always at hand. Voices cry out across the lines of history saying, do not despair. The one who created you has never forgotten you and is with you forever. Even in times of loneliness and nothingness, when we feel most vulnerable and forgotten, your word comes to us on the path. In keen affirmation, calls upon our souls to magnify you, our God. And so, with voices gentle and loud, timid and strong, we declare to the universe, holy, holy, holy is our God, who made heaven and earth. All creation sings of God's glory. Blessed is the one who comes in God's name. Hosanna in the highest.
Even in this Advent season, we dare to remember Jesus on a night when he faced betrayal and desertion and even death gathering with his closest friends and infusing the ordinary with new meaning. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will return, our hope and peace. Send your Holy Spirit, O God, upon the bread and the cup, simple gifts from your creation which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit in your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those who gathered his friends around a very simple, ordinary table. He did so on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took that common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people, like each and every one of us, and makes us holy. To remember, he asked that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith, friends, that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." So we take this bread and we drink this cup and we give thanks for the love, the grace, and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the path made new for each and every one of us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. This is the body of Christ, broken for each and every one of us. Taste the goodness of God's grace. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, taste the goodness and love of God.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your peace. May we go from here refreshed and eager to be blessings to others in this world. Amen.
Amen. And friends, we continue our time of prayer together. We share the prayers of our hearts, of our communities, of the world, our prayers of joy and concern. If you would like to share a prayer aloud, you're welcome to do so. Just raise your hand, and an usher will bring you a microphone that will hopefully work, but please just don't tap on it or blow into it. We'll get it, and God can hear you.
Cheryl Fennell.
Nope, just keep going. It might come.
Cheryl Fennell. Just prayers for some good friends who recently moved to Raleigh, and Norm and Judy Reeves, and Norm was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And also joys of celebration due to the bad weather in Rochester. We were in Chicago for a wedding. We were able to exchange our tickets and get rerouted to Boston, so we spent more time watching our granddaughter and seeing our kids.
Wonderful. So prayers of concern for a friend who recently moved and diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and prayers of joy, excuse me, for extra time with family and grandchildren. All right, so let's use this microphone and see if we can get that one working.
Okay. Morning, Barb Snaith. I'd like to ask for prayers for a friend of mine, Judy. She's having surgery tomorrow on her lung, and she's a little scared because it's a tumor that's been growing, so it's overdue. So prayers for Judy. Thank
prayers
you.
Prayers for Judy. All right, we're just going to use this microphone. You got a relay race to run. There we go.
Mary Hadley, Keith's sister, our niece actually, is going into surgery with her, how old is Max, three-year-old son to donate a kidney to him. He's been in kidney failure for over a year, and they've had to wait till his body was the right cavity size to accept this kidney from his mother. So the surgery is this week, and we just ask for your prayers for a successful transition for both him and for her. And also, a friend of mine, it's been a hard week. My boss lost her father the day after Thanksgiving, so prayers for Caitlin and her family. And another friend of mine, Tom Fry, some of you may know, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer this week. So prayers for him and his family. Thank you.
Prayers for all those struggling with upcoming surgeries and diagnosis and grief. Other prayers? Cam is going right over there. Did you have one, Peter?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Prayers for my sister. We learned midweek that she'd been taken to hospital. And as you can understand, backwards and forwards to England with communications. We didn't get a proper story till Thursday. She was taken in with pneumonia, and it was a very severe case. And then she had a reaction to the medication she was on. So right now she's stable, and prayers for her getting better. And then I learned that a colleague, his 13-year-old daughter, is going to have open-heart surgery. So prayers for him.
Prayers for your sister and your friend. So Cam and Keith there.
I have two this morning. The hymn reminded me when we were talking about people who are homeless. So far in the Rochester City School District, there have been reports of over 1,000 families that have been homeless at one time or another just since the beginning of school. And the other prayer that I have, the Brooks children, the Brooks family that has been in the news, the three youngest children are students at our school, and I just ask for continued prayers for the family and for all the wonderful relatives that are taking care of the children, and just really be with them for the long haul, Thank you.
Hi, Keith Morgan. I'd like to ask for prayers for Babe Myers, who fell and damaged her shoulder. And she thanks all those who have brought meals and will bring meals in the next few weeks.
Continued prayers for Babe Meyer, who fell and broke her shoulder.
Sue Mancini, he beat me to the... I was going to talk about Babe Meyer, too. Everyone here needs our prayers. If you haven't listened to these requests this morning, everyone is hurting in one way or another. Some of us can voice it, some of us can't. So we need to keep everyone who's sitting here this morning in our prayers.
Amen. And from our children this morning, prayers of joy for birthdays and prayers of joy for family that's visited over the holidays. Friends, let us continue our time of prayer. God of our way forward, we trust that your paths will lead us to love and hope, peace and joy. We pray that as we travel down these paths, they will lead us to you and to creating a world where the divisions between us will be erased, a world where people of all backgrounds walk with one another, listen to one another, and bear one another's burdens. We're still amazed of the ways that you chose a path entirely different by coming into this world, weak and fragile and dependent. You gave yourself into the care of a young girl. In following you, may we become as vulnerable. Merciful God, when we look around, the promises of your kingdom path seem so distant. Grant us tenacity to bring light where there is darkness, peace where there is strife, comfort where there is despair. Let the light of your presence shine in us so that we may all know that the darkness will not win. Grant in this Advent season that we not only claim your path as our own, but we follow your way, the way of your Son Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us give joyfully this morning as we receive the morning offering.
As we offer these gifts of ours to you for your service, may we be reminded of the enormity of the gift you have given us in your Son Jesus, and may our offering be used to demonstrate his influence on us and on your world. Amen.
Verses 1, 2, and 7. 1, 2, 7. Okay? Shine on your path, on our path, as we go forth from this place, seeking the light in the midst of great darkness. Go, knowing that the light is always with you, that Christ is always with you, that the Holy Spirit is with you always, now and forever. Alleluia. Amen.